If we're going to be what God has called us to be as Christian parents, you must love God first. Today's heart song comes from Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 through 7. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. Hey, welcome to today's A Heart for Home, where real life meets deep faith. My name is Ben Simpson, and I'm here with my co-host, Christy Simpson. Hey, Christy, how are you?
Hey, we're doing good. Actually, it's been a good week. It's been nice outside, so we've gotten to go outside and do a lot of neat stuff and catch up with some friends. So yeah, it's been a good week.
Good deal. So yeah, you guys hit the creek today, right?
We did. We hit the creek and we saw a snake, and which made the kids swim just a little bit faster. But yeah, the current was up, so it made for an exciting adventure, actually.
What kind of snake was it?
Well, our oldest says it was a copperhead, but I don't know. I didn't see it up close. So I'm not really sure what kind of snake it was. I just know that it was enough. It took off in the water, so it was enough to get them scared and get them swimming pretty fast upstream. So I don't really know.
Well, I know it's, you know, summer's almost coming to an end here, and so I know you just try to squeeze out every moment that you can. That's the thing, one of the things that I love about you is that you really try to pack a lot of fun and adventure and everything, and you do a really good job with that. And so you guys have been biking. You've been doing all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, the kids, just running a house full of boys, there's always so much energy there, so I try to do some things to get them up and moving around a little bit, so yeah.
That's one of the things that I was actually thinking about this past weekend. We went, we had a boys' weekend. My dad, you know, has been wanting for quite a while for my brother and me and all the grand boys, you know, to go on a camping trip. And so we did. We went down to my grandparents' old place there in Butler County, Kentucky. My grandpa, he used to oversee like a 2,000-acre farm. He didn't own it, but he was the caretaker for that whole property. And on those 2,000 acres, it sort of surrounded this 75-acre watershed lake. And so it was always just a big highlight to go down there. And we thought, you know, hey, some nostalgia. Let's go down and help our boys to experience what we got to experience as we were growing up. And so we had a lot of fun, but it was so funny. Nathaniel, our 8-year-old, like he was bound and determined to chop down trees. I wish you could have seen him there with this little hatchet just chopping trees. And I was thinking about what you were talking about there, you know, just that there's a lot of energy in boys.
Yes, there's definitely a lot of energy. In fact, this afternoon he was out just raking leaves, like tons and tons of leaves, just putting them in a big pile. And he raked for a while, and then he came in and said, "Mom, do you think I can get paid for this?" And I was like, "Not sure about that." So I'm like, "You were doing pretty good not getting paid for this." So
yeah, you know, that's one of the things that, and I was just talking, I forget who it was I was talking with there at the campsite, you know, just how God made boys different. You know, God made boys with a lot of energy. And part of that reason to do that is that one day they're going to be the leader of their home. They're going to be potentially the primary provider for their home. And, of course, they're defenders of the home and all those things. And so God has put in men and little boys. It just seems to be just this extra boost of energy where they've got to do something physical.
Yes, always doing something physical. In fact, it's not something that I really understand, me or my daughter, actually. But it's definitely something that they're always wanting to, you know, just be adventurous and just be so curious and just touch, like constantly touching each other. So yeah, definitely a different side.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, if you're new to A Heart for Home today, we want to welcome you. We're so glad that you're here. We want to encourage everybody to share this podcast with your friends. If you find it to be a blessing, you can subscribe to us on iTunes there at J. Ben Simpson. Just search that, J. Ben Simpson. We're also putting together a YouTube channel. And a Facebook page and other things like that. And so you can subscribe and like and do all those things. And so help us, please, to get the word out. At this point, I think we're 6 episodes in, I believe. This is episode 6, I do believe.
Yeah, it's gone well. Well, mother.
And so anyway, the concept behind A Heart for Home is that we use a home sort of as a metaphor for our conversation. And so each week we go to a different room in the house where we get to talk about life from that room's perspective. It kind of becomes a metaphor for an area of our life. And so which room are we going to in the house today, Christy?
Well, today we're going to the school room where we're working on teaching and training children for godly success.
Yeah, definitely, man. You know, the school room, you know, not every house has a school room, so to speak, but every house does in another sense, right? Metaphorically, every house is a training ground, a teaching ground for our children. And so, particularly this year, though, as we come into this corona season, this school year here in the fall, of course, you know, in the back in the spring, you know, school was canceled and all those things. But coming into this school year, the plan is to start in person on the 24th of August here. But that may not happen as far as in person. The governor, even today, is recommended for it to be pushed back another month, you know, for that to begin. And so some people were opting to do at-home virtual learning, but it looks like here in the school year, every person here in Warren County, it seems, if the school board goes through with the governor's recommendation, is going to begin with virtual learning. And so you're a homeschool veteran at this point. How many years have you been homeschooling now?
No, we've been homeschooling, I would say, close to 10 years or so. Yeah, 10, 11 years, because I started Zechariah in a preschool program back when he was about 2 to 3 years old. So, yeah, we've been doing some kind of homeschooling for quite some time. So,
yeah, definitely. And so I thought today, just as a practical thing for the schoolroom, we could actually talk about a schoolroom, because so many schools here, or so many families, so many parents, so many mom and dads are going to be doing some sort of schooling at home. Whether or not it's actual homeschool or whether it's virtual learning that the high school is providing, either way, there's going to be learning at home this year. It seems to be across the board. So we thought we would just open up this evening in this podcast here, talking about just some tips for setting up a school space for virtual learning or for homeschool itself. And so what would you say one of the keys is to setting up a space for that?
Well, I'd say first, just to designate a specific space in your house. It doesn't have to be a big area. It could be just a small nook area, or maybe you have a desk in the kids' room or certain area for whether it's their homework, if they are going to school, or if they're doing virtual learning, at least just have a designated space for that. I think that's really important.
And the reason we've learned that over the years, I think, is that, you know, one of the difficulties, one of the things that makes homeschooling sometimes difficult is for that child to sort of switch gears, right?
Right.
From being home and being playtime and kind of doing what I want to do to say, no, it's time to get serious and to learn here. And so designating an area actually kind of helps that child to make that transition into the educational time.
Right, absolutely. That's really important to have that certain space. Number two, I would say just try to keep it simple. Just less distractions, especially if you have a child who gets distracted pretty easy. I've just found that just less distractions in that area, keep away like the iPads and phones and TVs and that kind of thing, and even list less stuff on the walls. It just helps that child to be able to focus on their schoolwork a little better.
Yeah. Another one is, I think about, you know, over the years that we've learned is that we really should try, along with that designated space, to try to keep all the school books, all the supplies in one area. That cuts down on traffic because, again, kids, it's just like in school. And, you know, if they're going to, you know, your traditional school, you know, the kids, oh, I got to go to the bathroom. Oh, I got to do this. They're always looking for a reason to get up and leave, aren't they?
Right.
You know, and so if you have all the school supplies and all those things sort of right there near you, it really does cut down on the desire to go somewhere else, right, or the reason to go somewhere else. So you keep all those school books, all those supplies in one area, and it also kind of concentrates that. Because it can get really spread out really quickly, can it?
Absolutely, yeah. It's really easy for stuff to get spread out everywhere. So it's really important, I'd say, to let the kids help with setup and then just trying to keep it clean. Let the kids help with that. Otherwise, it's just impossible for you to try to do everything yourself. So let the kids help with their setup, with their school supplies, what's comfortable for them. You know, we have one of our children who are left-handed, so I try to keep that in mind. We have a writing desk, but it's not left-handed, so I'm not, you know, I try to just remember that, and some of her tools are a little bit different, but yeah, just let them help set up and let them help keep it clean. Also help give the child a job or a chore to keep things running smoothly, whether it's a chart or just something that they know they have to do at the end of their learning time to be able to help keep up and manage the area.
Because again, when you come into the next school day, like that's one of the things that's kind of a downer, right, is, oh my goodness, we've got to totally clean this space. you know, before we get started again. So if you do it at the end of the day, have you found that that helps you the next day to get started on the right foot?
Absolutely, yeah. Having a cleaner area certainly helps people to, it helps the kids to be able to focus a little better, yeah.
And one of the things too that we would say finally, I guess, just as some practical tips for setting up a space, is that even though you've set up a space and all those things, it is important to have some flexibility to let a child kind of wander a little bit. You know, if they want to do some independent learning or something like that, like where are some of the places that our kids like to go sometimes during the day when you give them the ability to roam a little bit?
Sometimes they just like to go outside. Sometimes they like to go to their bedroom. It just depends. Every child's a little bit different, but they have kind of some certain areas in the house that they like to go to read or do their math or something. So, yeah.
But the key with that is that you got to keep them on task.
Right. The accountability is really important because they could easily wander off. So that may not work with every child. I don't let my little ones do that. But yeah, for the older ones, certainly like that.
Yeah. So we hope that everybody that's listening to this right now, if you have children in the home or if you have grandchildren that are nearby, that you really do set up a space, that this school year is amazing for you, because education is important, right? Teaching and training children for godly success, as you think about the schoolroom metaphor here, is so key. And that means that we do want to see them grow intellectually and emotionally. But also we want them to grow spiritually, okay? And so when we think about today's heart song and we get into that, we go to that classic text there in Deuteronomy that, you know, maybe our folks, as they hear that, they've heard that taught their whole lives, right? It's a passage that we often go to for parenting as we think about being a good mom and dad and being a godly parent. But one of the things that I really think is neat about this heart song today in Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 through 7, is sort of the classroom of life. Like, that's the thing that I get from this, right? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. And so every day is a learning experience when it comes to what the Lord expects parents to be. And so today, just as we think about connecting real life with deep faith, there are a few things here that I really do think are important for us to think about today. And so if we're going to be what God has called us to be, all right, then the first thing is, as Christian parents, as it talks about here, is that you must love God first, right? He says, this is God talking to Israel here. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. That's the parent right there. So it begins with the parents. We can't expect our children to love God if we don't love God. Why is that so important for a parent to first love? If we're going to pass on the faith, if we're going to do what God says, why is it important for parents to love God first?
It's obviously important for us to love God first so that we know what the scripture says, what the Bible says about what love truly is, because I don't think we can truly love our children unless we know what God's love is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. But then secondly, we see in the text here, is that you have to understand that your number one job as a parent is to pass on the faith to your child. Now, what would you say a lot of parents would believe their job is? Their number one job is what?
I'd say most parents would think their number one job would be to just make sure that their children get a good education, make sure that they're, you know, are well-rounded. I think that would be a big one. Just make sure that they're fed well, they're clothed well, you know, just all the necessary things of raising a child.
And a lot of times a dad, it's, can he hit a baseball? Can he shoot a basketball? Can he throw a football? You know, things like that. We think about all those priorities. But when we look right here, if we want our child to have godly success, then we've got to pass on the faith. You know, it's interesting there with the people of Israel. You know, as Joshua, you know, he led the people and he said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And they went into the land and all those things. But it says in the book of Judges just soon after that, that there grew up a generation that didn't know the Lord. And how sad is that, you know?
Right, definitely. I think another thing we want to think about is you don't want to wait for your children to become Christians to actually begin discipling them.
Now, what do you mean by that?
Well,
I thought you had to be a Christian to be a disciple.
Right. Well, that's something to definitely think about. But you want to start earlier, and that way they can be thinking that direction, and you can be praying for their heart, praying for God to soften their heart, and they will hear, you know, the message of the gospel over and over. And many times, even as adults, we'll hear the gospel over and over before they come to know Christ. So just them hearing about who Jesus is and about what God's done for them, I think it just begins to set up in their heart just that softening of who, what the salvation is and what the gift of Jesus truly is.
Yeah, because sometimes you hear parents say things like, I'm just going to let them find Jesus. I'm not going to force it on them. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to drag them to church if they don't want to go. I'm going to just kind of let them find their own way. But that is a really anti-biblical thinking, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, I think the Bible definitely tells us to continue to teach our children, even while they're young. They're just so impressionable at that point. So
yeah.
We really need to teach them while they're young. It's really important.
Yeah, so it's not about forcing it on them, you know. It really is about nurturing a love for the Lord. And again, as much of it is caught as it is taught, right? Parents who love the Lord are likely going to have children who love the Lord, because they catch it, they pass it on, all right? And so as you think about that parent, you know, you begin with them as a child, you begin to teach them, you begin to catechize them, which means to teach them the truths of the Bible. You begin to work on spiritual disciplines and things like that to begin to grow them. And so you don't wait for them to be a Christian, you raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, as Ephesians chapter 6 talks about here, just like Deuteronomy chapter 6 here talks about, is that even before they are Christians, they learn what it means to be a Christian. And Lord willing, they'll come to Christ. And we've seen this in our own children's lives. You know, I mean, different children have come to Christ at different ages, right?
Right, yeah, they've all come at different ages, and then we still have our youngest who has not come to know the Lord, but, you know, we're just praying, and he knows that. He knows that he's not saved yet, but we just continue to pray for his heart that God will draw him just at whatever age that is. It's definitely not something we want to force, but we just want that to be a drawing from the Lord.
Sure, but already, even at 6 years old, we've been discipling him for years, you know, as far as that goes, and so that's really important, right? But the final thing that we would say today, when you think about the classroom, the schoolroom, is that the whole world, and this is the thing I kind of get from, particularly in this verse, is that the whole world is a classroom. When you look here in this text here, he basically says, you're going to talk about these things. Teach them diligently. What would you say a synonym for diligently is? Teach them.
I would say consistently, maybe.
Yeah, consistently. It's something that you're doing with all your heart to teach your children. And he says you're to do it when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. In other words, the totality of your life is the classroom, you know? Now, one of the things that I love about you is that you are the type of person, you're a very visual learner, right? And you like to go and experience learning, right? And so where are some of the places that you feel like make for good classrooms, so to speak, out in the world? Where do you feel like there are really rich places to teach the children about the Lord?
Well, just anywhere you go. Just anywhere in nature is really a good place.
Yeah.
So, you know, just as you're going to a park, or even just very practical things that you're doing every day, as you see nature, as you see birds, as you see just different things in the world, you can just really relate that to Scripture very, very easily, because Jesus did that much in his teaching, just used different things that they saw right before them. So just anything that you're doing, but definitely outside of nature, even just taking a hike. It doesn't have to take a lot of stuff, but just taking a hike or something, you can share so much with your children at that time.
And I know for you, water seems to really have a significance. Like, for some reason, water really just touches your heart and causes you to be reflective, you know, on the Lord. Why is that?
Well, water, I think just the way it ripples, water just is very beautiful. I love the ocean. We enjoy, you know, like I said, being on the water, kayaking, fishing, that kind of thing. It's something the kids really like too. So I just really enjoy just being around water. It's just something that's really fun for our family. So we really like that.
Yeah, in our Bible reading time, you know, we've been reading through the Gospels, and we're in the book of Acts at this point. But one of the things just reading through, you know, the Bible is that Jesus really epitomized the whole world as a classroom. I mean, that was sort of the life of a rabbi. The guys would get with him and they would just walk around and he would see, oh, you see this fruit tree here? Oh, you see this grapevine? And all of a sudden he would begin to teach them about God through the things that they're experiencing. And so it's important for us to do that. And I think that's what Deuteronomy is talking about here, that the whole world is the classroom. We are so thankful that you've come and joined us today here at A Heart for Home. It is always a joy to be with you. We hope that today you've been challenged, you've been encouraged, you've been equipped to be a godly mom, a godly dad, a godly grandma or grandpa. We know that the Christian life is meant to be lived and it's meant to be passed on. Thank you for joining us here today at A Heart for Home, where real life meets deep faith.